sometimes it feels like a balloon on the inside that somebody blowing up. You know? All right, Abby. It feels like a balloon on the inside. It feels like a balloon and somebody's blowing up the balloon. I'm saying somebody, I mean, you know, the fullness of the revelation, and you want to get it out.
Amen.
You know, you want to get it out. And sometimes it's like, honestly, sometimes it's like it's still being blowed up. You know, it's still being blowed up. You want to get it out. You want to get it out. It's New Year's, and I want to wish, again, with my wife, I want to wish everyone a joyful New Year. I don't say happy, because happy is based on what happens. See, but God, He didn't promise us happiness, He promised us joy.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Peace and joy. See, joy is not based on what happens. Joy is something that God puts in your heart, and you have it no matter what happens. See? The presence and the power of God, the peace of God, no matter what happens. Because a lot of things are happening, isn't that right? A lot of things are happening. And the title of our message today is Make Your Way Prosperous. And we read from 2 Peter chapter 1. But you'll notice in your bulletin the verses Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. But first of all, I want to talk about New Year and resolutions. Many, many people make resolutions at this time of the year. Many people do. In fact, there are about 10 top resolutions that people often make during this time of year. Pastor Lisa mentioned the resolution to lose weight. That's a big one. It's way up there on the list. The resolution to exercise more, it might be like get fit or go to the gym or something. You know, people make that resolution to get in better shape, to eat better, eat more healthily, organic, or even it might be just to eliminate, you know, unhealthy foods, fast foods. French fries taste good, but, you know, might be to cut down on stress, you know, at work, taking on so many projects, or, you know, relationship stress, you know, just, you know, end a bad relationship, you know, it's stressful and it's a bad relationship, you know, or maybe change jobs this year, you know, I'm going to change jobs because this job just ain't working out, it's too stressful, you know, and I'm going to get my resume together and get a better, different kind of job that's not so stressful. Some make the resolution to be more productive. Be more productive at work, that they're going to, you know, do some projects or accomplish something, or even at home, to do some projects at home, or even at church, to be more productive. Those are good things. Some make that resolution that they're going to volunteer more, that they're going to volunteer in their community or at their church, or they're going to give more to the church. Some make a resolution to enjoy life, you know, not just working so hard, but they're going to enjoy life and spend more time with their family and loved ones, and spend more time in recreational and enjoyable pursuits rather than just working so hard. Some make resolutions about money, that they're going to manage their money better this year. They're going to they're going to save some money. Or maybe they're going to spend less. Or maybe they're going to try to get more income. Or maybe they're going to get out of debt. Or, you know, this year I'm going to get my credit in line. I'm going to fix my credit this year. Some very popular New Year's resolution is a resolution about bad habits. You know, it might be gossip, or it might be spending habits again. You know, just could be, you know, for a lot of people it's smoking and drinking. For some people it's bad language, you know. Yeah. Even people that don't typically curse have bad language, you know. Negative language, in other words, you know, not the positive language of the Word of God. So we can all use a resolution about how to use the words of God more effectively in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
And number 10, people often make a resolution that they're going to learn something new this year. They're going to take up a new skill or a new trade or learn something new, something to bring something new to their lives. The interesting thing about resolutions is that around December 31 and January 1, many, many people are making resolutions. Oftentimes, they're making resolutions that they've made before. You know, go back and take a look at the resolutions that were made over the past 5 years. And you'll find that you're often making the same resolution. I decided some years ago, I decided not to make any more New Year's resolutions. I decided not to make any New Year's resolutions. Now, I am a very resolute person because I am resolved to do all that God commanded me to do. I'm resolved in that. I'm just not going to wait until January 1st.
Amen.
You see? Because what I decided is that if God is showing me something that I need to bring into change in my life, that now, you know, when, you know, you've heard me say, when is the right time to do the right thing? What is the right time?
Now.
So if it's June the 16th or July the 31st, now is the right time. So it might be January 1st. On some particular issue for anybody. It could be, but it can't always be January 1st.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Well, what are the elements of a good resolution? First of all, there must be a desire,
amen,
a hunger, or a passion. And for me, you know, for me and for you as Christians, we're talking about a hunger and a passion for a godly change in my life. Well, not everything is godly. Many of you know that I've working on my discipline plan for my health and my weight. And so you might not consider that godly. That's a very natural kind of thing. But for me, just for me, everything about my life is about God. You see what I'm saying? So if I'm losing weight, it's a godly initiative to me. You see what I'm saying? It's godly. Because my discipline plan is about bringing my life in harmony so that I can serve God more effectively. I decided that I can't serve God if I'm sick.
That's right.
I can't serve Him well. I mean, I can, you know, take the scraps of my life and give it to Him, you know. That's what we often do. You know, take our youth and our strength and commit it to the devil. And then when we get old and sick, we want to give that to God. Isn't that what we do? I'm talking about human beings. That's what we do. And so I decided that I resolved, you know, to get some youth back. Yeah.
Amen.
Get some youth, get some strength, get some youth, get some vitality back in my life. Give it to God in service. Amen?
Amen.
So there must be a desire, a passion, or a hunger for a godly change. There must be a confidence that you gain from the Word of God. A confidence. I can do this. You know what I'm saying? I can set godly initiatives with the confidence that God will bring me through.
Yeah.
Otherwise, my efforts are futile. I must have confidence that I can do this. I can be a better, I can be an A student. I can earn sufficient wage to support my family and my children. I can get a job. They say there's no jobs out there, but God has a job for me.
Amen.
And I'm going to have it.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Maybe somebody else ain't got no one, but God has a place for me.
I believe,
and you've heard me say time and time again, just as surely as God has a place for you in heaven, He's got a place right here on earth for you to work.
Yes.
Just as surely. See, if you have that confidence, when you go and look that man or woman that's interviewing you in the eye, and you can look at them with boldness and with confidence, say, you have to have me on this job.
Amen.
You're going to suffer if you don't have me working on this job. You ain't going to find nobody.
Glory to God.
You ain't going to find nobody that's going to be as diligent and attentive and productive as I'm going to be, because I'm serving my God, not you.
Amen.
I'm not going to find anybody. You're going to suffer. Your company's going to go bankrupt, maybe. You know, don't make good choices. That's what happens,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You don't have me. Yeah. Well, you think about Joseph.
Amen.
Egypt would have been bankrupt.
That's right.
Think about it. I got Bible on the side of this thing I'm telling you.
That's right.
So you have to have desire, passion, hunger. You have to have confidence that these are the things that God has for you. Your goals are godly and realistic in accomplishment. And you got to put yourself in the company of support systems, not enablers. Enablers will tell you, that's okay, baby, it's okay. It's all right, that's okay. Enablers. And support systems say, get me, you didn't get no job today? Get back out there. You the man. You the woman. Get back out there. Pound them pavements and them streets until you find that job. God's got a place for you.
Amen.
Soak your feet. I know you've been pounding the pavement. Soak your feet tonight. Put some extra salt in. Get back out there tomorrow.
Amen.
You the man.
Amen.
Use your support systems. We have a tendency to gravitate towards enablers. Somebody that's going to pat you on the back and say, it's okay. Give you a hug, pat you on the back, set you down, give you some hot chocolate, and say, that's okay. You don't have to go back out tomorrow. You need somebody that says, no, stand up on your feet.
Amen.
Square your shoulders.
Amen.
Soak your feet tonight, but get back out there.
Yes.
Need a coach.
Mentor.
Go forward in confidence. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Those are elements of a good resolution. Now, I've been thinking very much about 2011. I heard somebody say that the best thing about 2012 is that it's not 2011. The best thing about 2012 is that it's not 2011. Well, 2011 had a lot of issues. Now, you know that if you're going to be a problem solver, you got to know what the issues are.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to know the issues if you're going to be a problem solver. And in the world, just out there in the world, there were lots of issues in 2011. 2011 is a difficult year. Politically, economically, even weather-wise, even and morally, it was a very, very, very difficult year. There were some highs. There was a report that the world population grew to 7 billion people alive on the earth today. There's the recent report that the troops came home from Iraq. Some people are very happy. Of course, it depends on your perspective, because some are very happy about that, and some are saying, yeah, but that means Iraq goes back to the terrorists. And also, depending on your perspective, some people are very happy that there was the elimination, let me put it, of two top terrorists, Osama bin Laden and Anwar Awlaki. He was an American-born terrorist over there, but he was training people to send back to kill Americans. And so, you know, that's kind of considered to be a good high point in the war against terrorism. And then there's always a high point when there's a fairy tale type wedding. The marriage of William and Kate drew our attention away from all the problems of the world to see the regal royalty and the pomp and the circumstance, and just took our minds back for a minute to beautiful things and stories from our childhood and youth. The frog meets the prince, no, the prince, princess and the frog, or whatever, you know. Just wonderful stories, beautiful stories. But there were so many lows. Earthquakes and tsunamis, and in Japan where the nuke, you know, the tsunami, and you know, can't get those images out of your mind of these great big ships and boats just being tossed around like toys, and water flooding over the land and climbing over hills and chasing people up into the mountains. You just, those images are driven into our minds. And then the nuclear disaster in Japan that followed the earthquake and the tsunami, and the New Zealand earthquake in Christchurch, New Zealand, and even our local earthquake here in Virginia and DC and Maryland and up the East Coast, the unexpected earthquake and the unexpected snowstorm in October. Major snowstorm in October that knocked out power lines and knocked down trees all up and down the East Coast because it was too early for that much snow. Trees still had leaves on them, so they were weighted down with snow and knocked over power lines. Many, many, many people were without power. Politically and economically, the downgrading of the U.S. debt, first time. Downgrading of the U.S. debt and the problems in Europe with the euro and several countries in Europe on the verge of bankruptcy, and the Arab Spring with all of the protests and revolts in the Arab countries, and not only that, but the protests coming right here to America with the Occupy Wall Street and spreading across the nation, the discontent with the systems of the world as they are today. Discontent. And crimes and moral failure. Leaders, Herman Cain and what's the Bishop Long and the coaches at Penn State. Moral failures come to light. On the church scene, you know, the bishop is getting a divorce. instead of the bishop standing up and saying, I am a man of God and I did not do those things. There's a back room where a settlement is made. The millions of dollars are passing hands to keep everybody hush hush. Like, that makes it go away. Terrible, terrible thing. Terrible thing. And even worse is when other bishops stand up and say, oh, he just had a rap. You should still support him. He just had a wreck. God doesn't cover up unrighteousness. You shine the light on it and expose it. Expose it. It's the only way to get rid of it. Shine the light on it. And the wife says, I want a divorce. I can do bad by myself. I don't need, you got to do your own lying. I'm not going to sit here and lie for you. You got to do your own lying. You know. And on the church scene again, we had a broadcaster broadcasting the end of the world and giving dates. Those dates don't happen to come to pass, so give another date. That date didn't come to pass. Oh, I made a mistake and give another date. You know, the Bible clearly says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. Okay, just take it. Just take the word of God. No man knows. And corporate greed and Rupert Murdoch, the news empire, wiretapping and listening to people's conversations on their phones and cell phones and getting information that way. Food security in America. Can you imagine? Food security is a term you probably never heard of. Food security, you know why you never heard of it? Not because it's not an issue, but it just hasn't been an issue here in America. Food security is a term that we use in third world countries. The food security has to do with the availability of food, the quality of the food, you know, the availability and sufficiency, and the quality of the food that it doesn't cause sickness. Well, in America, we have food security issues now. We certainly do. Can you imagine the cantaloupes a compromise? Cantaloupes. Spinach. Spinach. I mean, spinach is a health food. I mean, you know. Eat spinach. Eat more spinach. The broccoli. We have food security issues. Peanut butter. Peanuts and peanuts. Baby food. We have food security issues in America. Then the surprises of 2011. Casey Anthony being found not guilty. Not guilty. And the surprise of Amanda Knox being released, being found not guilty from an Italian court system. World issues. World issues. But then there are personal issues. And when I say personal issues, you know, I'm being very, very personal. And I'm thinking about the Edmonds family and the Anderson family, the Lewis family, the MacArthur family, the Williams families, the Davies family, the Bryan family, Mother Anita Campbell and her family, the Hill family, the Taylor family, the Best family, Ami and her family, Aaron, his family, Darlene's family, some families that are not here, and I'm, as God was speaking to me about this, I went through all the families of the all the ministries that we're responsible for here. So King's daughters have families of people who don't go to this church, but they're connected here, and I have responsibility due to that connection. In New York, we have families that are connected with that ministry in New York. And in New Oxford, I have a whole New Oxford annotated prayer list that I've updated. So we got the French family, and we got Joey and Jenny in Montana, and Amanda and Rob, and Brandon Piper, and Randy and Amanda across the street, Jody and Margie, Ruth and Doris, Jim and Ann, Deb and Greg, Dave, Greg's brother, and all of the Rick Rhodes. It's a lot, all of the Rick Rhodes and the Lifesburgers. It's a lot of them. It's a lot of them. And they are people that we reach out and touch. And I want you to know. I want you to know. I want you to understand that when we go out to New York and to New Oxford, and my wife recently went to Columbia, South Carolina, and to these places, that you're sending us. You know, a pastor told me that he considers money to be like little soldiers. He considers money, so when he puts money in the offering, it's like he's sending soldiers off to war. Because I can't go if I don't have any gas.
Right.
Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. I can't go.
Amen.
And we're going. I have a whole list of people in New Oxford that we're ministering to, and some I haven't met yet, but I'm going to get them, because we're praying for them, right? They're on the list. You know, and steadily we've been meeting one after the other, haven't we? One after the other. Went to the hospital the other day to see Ann, and her husband Jim came. We ministered deliverance to her, and she got a measure of it, and we're seeking that next opportunity to go back.
Amen.
So you got to understand that you know that your offerings, they're like little soldiers that you're sending
Amen.
Out.
Amen.
Sending them out, you're sending them out to battle.
Amen.
So you have a part. I mean, you know, it's not just, oh, let me go to church and give the church my tithe and my offering. It's like, it's great. You got to see the greater vision.
Amen.
In 2012, you got to see the greater vision.
Amen.
Because the greater vision is about souls being saved,
yes.
People getting the word of healing,
yes.
And people getting deliverance. I believe the deliverance issue.
Amen.
The deliverance issue is where people are often in bondage, where they can't get healing and can't get salvation.
Yes.
The deliverance issue.
Uh-huh.
Because they're, you know, they're in bondage. And they need to see that those chains drop off.
Amen.
Yes.
When you learn, when you allow somebody to come and teach you the Word of God.
Amen.
When you learn the Word of God and you apply that Word of God to your life and to your family, you know, to your thinking.
Yes.
You know, to your finances, to your relationships. When you allow that Word of God to pervade throughout every area of your life.
Amen.
Deliverance happens.
Amen.
Deliverance just happens. So these are all on my lists. Fellowship prayer lists. And on a personal level, like I said, if you don't know the issues, you really don't have a shot. You really don't have a chance. If you don't know the issues about getting a better 2012 than 2011. You know, Holy Spirit said to me, Because I had actually had a different message that I was preventing. I believe it was a message from God, but the Holy Spirit told me, hold on with that one. I got this one here for you. You know, I just do what I'm told. I'm an employee, you know. Employees, I just do what I'm told, you know. Sometimes your boss tells you to stack all that stuff up right there. And you might think he means this is the stuff we're going to use. And he stack all that stuff up right there. Then he tells you to go and work on this stuff. I thought I was working on that stuff. Just do what you're told. So when you're finished working with that, then you got to come work with this.
And when you're ready to come, it's all in the right place already. And that's what happened with me.
God gave me a message. And then he told me, hold on, I got another. Got a different something for you. For today. For January 1st, 2012. Because what God told me was that, you know, everybody is hoping for a better 2012 than 2011. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a reasonable expectation that you would want a better 2012. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, nobody wakes up saying, I want it to be worse. Nobody wakes up saying, no, I want to have a worse day today than yesterday. No, everybody is looking with hopeful expectation for a better 2012 than 2011. But let me tell you something. It could be worse. You know, this second message that the Lord gave me, he said, you know, the first message is for next week. See, I was just getting you ready early. First message is for next week. For this week, this is what you have to say. You see, Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I've read that verse for years. I've read that verse for years, and it was only the last couple of days I was seeing this verse a little differently. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have... Like, isn't good success and prosperous the same thing? You know, I've been seeing this thing in the Word of God. I've been seeing this thing in the Word of God where God, he seems like he reiterates himself. And sometimes he reiterates himself and he uses the same words, and I can show you that. But sometimes he reiterates himself and he uses a different, like he's using a further analysis of the same concept. Okay? Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Everybody wants to be prosperous. Everybody. Anybody would want to be prosperous. And have good success. And so my first message would have taken off from here and gone into a direction in Leviticus chapter 26. The first 13 verses is about the blessing. And the Lord said to me, they don't need a lesson in the blessing. They don't need a lesson in the blessing. See, everybody, number one, everybody wants the blessing.
Amen.
Number two, when you study and understand the Word of God, you will clearly understand that you don't need a lesson in the blessing. Because if you do the will of God, the blessing comes looking for you. You don't have to study it out, and you don't have to pray and beg God to give you the blessing. Because you ain't going to get it if you're not doing life God's way. You understand? You know, you can't have it. You see what I'm saying? If you're not doing life God's way, how are you going to get his stuff?
Amen.
I was sitting right here this morning when we were worshiping. And God said to me, and I wrote it down. One of these pages, I wrote it down. God said to me, some of my people are playing me for sugar.
Mm.
Ooh,
Now, some of you have no idea what that meant to me. You got it. Some of you may not know because it may not be in your vocabulary. Okay? But as soon as he said it, I knew exactly what he meant. Some of you are playing me for sugar. See, sugar is the guy. Sugar is the guy. Anybody know who Sugar is? No. Well, nobody's admitting that they know who Sugar is. Nobody's admitting that they know Sugar. Sugar's the guy, yeah, that's him. That's Sugar. He comes around, got a big car, a big hat, got big rings on, got a big fat wallet. You know, all you gotta do is give him a hug, squeeze his hand, give him a kiss on the cheek, and he'll give you a couple dollars. And Sugar. And Sugar might be married. But he likes the girls. You come toot the horn outside your house, and you come downstairs and get in the car and go with Sugar. Sugar buy you some stuff. God said to me, this is not my stuff. It wasn't even in my mind. Some people are playing me for Sugar. They want the blessings. You ain't Sugar's wife, get out of Sugar's car. You don't belong in Sugar's car.
Sugar's wife made an abandoned song.
The people are playing me for Sugar. Blessing, bless me, bless me, bless me, Lord. Bless me, bless me, bless me, Lord. The Lord said to me, you don't need a lesson in the blessing. He said, give them some verses about the curses. Now, ain't nobody going to say amen about that. Ain't nobody going to say amen about that. So you don't really need a lesson in the blessing. Because the blessing will come up behind you and overtake you if you hearken unto the voice of his word and do his commandments according to what he's told you to do. You won't need no lessons.
That's right.
Guarantee it.
Amen.
Bible says clearly, over and over in different places. It's not even just one place and say, well, maybe this was a mistake. No, it's over and over again. This is the way it works. Period. But see, since we don't understand the curse, so consequently, we have this way of, like, you know, the curse is plainly showing up in our lives, but we still looking for the blessing with no change in our ways. You see what I'm saying? With no change in our ways, we're still looking to expect, you know, praying and begging for the blessing. It ain't happening. So, if you go to Leviticus chapter 26, go to Leviticus chapter 26. Because what I want to show you is what God showed me is that not only does the blessing not come, but the curse could get worse.
That's right.
I was stunned. I was literally stunned when I saw this. What I'm going to show you, and if you have a Bible marking methodology, I encourage you to employ it here today. Because what I had to do was to take this thing. I had to take this thing and what am I trying to say? I had to take this thing and mark it all out so I could really see, because I read it and I saw it. I said, is this what you're leading me to? And I had to mark it all out so I could see it. And I said, you know, it's like, look at verse 14. Okay, because verses 1 through 13 I'm going to come back to, and I may not get back to it today, but it's okay. It's about the blessing. You ain't got to worry about that. You get this part straight, you'll be cool. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give us attention, Lord God. Thank you for attention to the Word of God this morning, Lord God. That we'll hear, Lord God, and see what you're saying and do what you called us to do. Thank you, Lord. Now, I personally really wanted to use the first 13 verses. That's what I wanted to do. God said no, 14. Because in the first 13 verses, it talks about hearkening unto the voice of the Lord, and this is what will happen. I love it. I really love it. I hope I can get back to it. But, you know. Because for instance, look at verse, let me get there a minute. For instance, look, is it okay? Is it okay?
Yes.
All right. For instance, look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. I just want to show you a little bit of it. Because we're going to come back to it, okay? I just want to show you a little bit. Is that okay, baby girl? That's okay. Verse 10. He said, "And ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new." This is in the blessing. Brother Alex, this is in the blessing. "You shall eat old store and bring forth of the old because of the new." What does that mean? See, this is all a part of the blessing. And what it's saying is that you got so much stuff in your cupboards. You know, like how when you go to the grocery store and you go get the milk, and they got the milk that's dated January 15th in the front. And if you look behind, the milk that's dated January 25th is behind. I want to confess, sometimes I reach behind and get the other one. Okay, you know, I do. But they want you to take... See, they got so much milk. They got so much milk back there that they bring it forth of their old store and bringing it forth to the front because of the new. See? And God says that when you do His ways, you'd have so, you know, can you imagine getting your check? Well, we don't get checks anymore. But see, the days of checks was interesting. Because there, I mean, it was more illustrative of my point. Because there was a time when I would get paychecks, I could throw them in the drawer. I throw a track in the drawer because I'm still living off of my old store.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
Throw a check in the drawer. I'll get to it whenever, you know. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's what this verse, that's the blessing. See?
Amen.
Blessing is like you ain't waiting on no check. You got bank already. You got bank. You ain't waiting on no check. I mean, it's yours. You ain't throwing it away. You're putting it in the drawer.
Amen.
You bring forth of your old store because of the new. Amen. People come out. People come to your house and you eat as much as you want. I got plenty. You ain't skimping, you know. Have you ever been to somebody's house for dinner and they, you know, they're cutting you a half of a piece of chicken, you know? That's actually happened to me. Like, what? Look, never mind then. I'll go home and eat. I got food. You invite me to your house for half a piece of chicken. Gonna feed myself. You left that person's house. We gotta stop at a restaurant and get something to eat after dinner. You know. But see, when you're blessed, you can bring forth from whatever you want.
Yes.
Eat as much as you want. You want another plate?
Yes.
Oh no, I'm on my plan. My plan to talk. See, that's the blessing. Now let me get to my message that was supposed to be for today. Go to 14 now. I just want to give you a little tongue-whetting, Mother Etta. Just a little something. I see you. See, because verse 10 is, if you see verse 3, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then. Now, whenever you look in the scriptures and you see if, then pay attention. See, what I realize is all I got to do is pay attention to the if part. The then part is guaranteed.
Amen.
It's guaranteed. My part is the if part. That's the problem. If you going to do it or you're not going to do it. It's your choice. You got a choice. Okay? You going to do it? Are we going to do it?
Amen.
We're going to do it. Because this is what happens if not. Okay? Verse 14. If ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all of these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, and if your soul abhor my judgment. Do you know what abhor means? When you're trying to tell your children to wash the dishes or something, and they got a whole lot of mouth for you. Got a whole lot of mouth. Try to tell them, you know, goodly things that they should do. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Goodly things.
Oh, yeah.
You're not trying to whoop them or nothing. You're just trying to tell them they all got a lot of mouth and attitude, and they abhorring your commandments.
Amen.
Your judgments. So that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I will also do this unto you. Now, the way I set up my spreadsheet situation, I took them verses and I got them all in and made bullets for each point. Made bullets, okay? Because, see, bullets help me to zero in on stuff, you know? Okay? So he says, I will appoint over you terror. Now, terror is dismay. It's confusion, you know? Like, you're confused about your life situation. You don't know what to do. Everything's not working out right. And you're just confused. You don't even know what decision to make. Is a result of sin. I just want you to understand what the curse is, what it looks like. You see what I'm saying? This is what it looks like. Now, this is not about blame and fault and pointing the finger. Okay? I want you to understand. God gives us information so that we can say, oh, I get it. I can make a decision now. Okay? Because truth be told, some of this is in all of our lives. The truth be told. But see, if you just, you know, walk backwards away from it and don't pay attention to it, then, you know, then you're going to see what happens. Watch. I will appoint over you terror, consumption. What's consumption? Consumption is wasting away.
Yes.
You know, and some of these things are both naturally and spiritually, you know, so a wasting away. Can you imagine all of this word that's going forth, but it don't seem to be like lodging in the hearts of some? You understand what I'm saying? No change. I would imagine the word that goes forth, because my Bible tells me the word is alive.
Yes.
The word is alive. And so since the word is alive, it should bring life where it goes. But if our hearts are hard, then it just hits the hard heart and rolls off. So this is not about fault and blame. It's about information that you can take and use and make wise decisions and choices to bring your life in harmony with God. Amen?
Amen.
So dismay, terror, which means dismay, consumption, which means wasting away, and the burning ague, which means fever. And that fever, listen, that fever shall consume the eyes, which means bring vision to an end.
Wow.
Bring vision to an end. You can't figure out what you should do next.
Wow.
You're blind.
Wow.
Can't figure out what to do. You're confused.
Oh my goodness.
And cause sorrow of heart, which means losing the strength of your inner being, that inner force that drives you. You don't have any.
Wow. Wow. Oh my goodness.
But these things, you gotta see, these things are a result of sin.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a result of sin.
Yeah.
So hey, there's a remedy for that, right?
Yes.
But there's more. Ye shall sow your seed in vain,
and your enemies shall eat it. It means you never seem to get ahead.
Wow.
You know, you try a project that's going to make money, and next thing you know, it's costing you. Never seem to get ahead. I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. You're going to suffer loss. They that hate you shall reign over you. You're supposed to be the head, not the tail. Right? And ye shall flee when none pursues you. Running away. I find people like that sometimes, running away. I don't mean you no harm. I really don't. But one of my particular responsibilities is to approach you. But sometimes I notice when I approach some, they run away. And the scripture tells me why. Ye shall flee when none pursues you. That's fear, that's anguish, that's sorrow of heart, you know. That's verses 14 to what? 17, right? Now that's bad enough, isn't it? That's level one.
Wow.
That's just level one. That's just level one. This is the way I'm looking at it. Nobody told me this. You know, maybe somebody. You know, this is just level one. And then level two is verse 18. If ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me.
Wow.
Okay? So God says, you know, if you sin, trouble will come into your life.
Yes.
And if you don't hearken, if you don't like look and say, ooh, I got elements of the curse on me. You know, let me get this off of me.
That's right. That's right.
Let me go back to God.
Yes. There you go. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. But see, we're talking about operating in integrity and rigor. Remember we talked about rigorous honesty? Remember we talked about doing a fearless moral inventory of your life?
Yes.
You know? And you look at those things and you say, oh, this looks like a curse. Let me go back to God.
Uh-huh.
You see?
Jesus.
Because he says in verse 18, if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then, oh no, more. This is level two. This is level two iniquities. Then I will punish you seven times more. See, what I told you was that 2012 can be worse. You don't hearken.
Punish you seven times. See, yes, pray.
Can be worse. Seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thought you were all that, hey? God says he'll break the pride of your power.
My God.
You don't want God to humble you. Bible don't say, let, you know, God, please humble me, God. Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Let's say to you, you don't want God to have to humble you. You don't want that. That's a level two iniquity issue. Break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. I've had people that I ministered to tell me that their prayers seem like they go up and hit the ceiling and crash and come down. I remember a young man, particularly way back in the 90s, and I did not know how to minister to that at that time. I did not know how to help him. I know how to help him today. Unfortunately, he's passed away. That time, I didn't have all that revelation. But I know how to help people like that today. Yes, if you could see it's a level two iniquity issue. The heavens is brass. You can't get a prayer through. It's an iniquity issue. You know, because God is a God of fellowship.
Right.
He's not a God that's standing off saying,
right,
you know, let me shut my ears from my people.
Right.
But iniquity will close.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
close the channels of communication between you and God. Sin will. Yeah, and your prayers be like brass. Heavens be like brass. Can't get through. The iron and the earth will be as iron. What does that mean? You know, you think about an agricultural economy where you dig into the ground to plant your seed. You know, and the earth is as iron. That's a lot of heavy digging.
Earth is as brass.
Yeah, well, have iron brass in it. I'm just thinking it's hard.
Either way, it's hard.
Yeah. Either way. Sorry about that.
Oh my gosh, hear the word of the Lord.
You can't get a prayer through, and you can't get a seed in the ground.
Wow.
Your strength will be spent in vain. I don't even need to explain that.
Please.
Your strength will be spent in vain, and your land shall not yield her increase. Neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. Work hard all year, it amounts to nothing. Nothing. Nothing changes. These are level 2 iniquities. Verse 21, and then these are level 3 iniquities. And if ye walk contrary to me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you which shall rob you of your children. Wild beasts! Wild beasts! Shall rob you of your children. A lot of us know that it seems as if this culture is a wild beast. This drug culture, this very profligate culture is a wild beast. And that's exactly what it's doing. It's robbing us of our children. How many of us have lost children? Or we've lost children to the prison system. Or we've lost children to some cult. Or we've lost children to the gang culture. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, you understand what he said.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Wild beast which shall rob you of your children. Men and women with evil motives, really demonic motives behind what they're doing. But in actuality, you got to understand and remember that we have accountability and responsibility for this because these are our sins.
That's right.
Our sins given the devil access to our children.
Amen.
You see that? Our sins. Given the devil access. I know that this is very difficult because I'm talking about the curse, and I know that we've all seen elements of these things in our lives and in our families. Am I telling it like it is? We've seen this in our families. So why does the devil have a right? You gotta start asking questions, right?
Yes.
Nothing changes. If we don't get some information, nothing changes. Wild beasts and destroy your cattle. Your cattle, that's the way how you plow your field. It's the way how you work. It might even be what you eat. You know, your cattle, you know, it might even be what you ride on to go into town.
In the third world country, it's your wealth.
Yeah, that's your wealth. That's right. That's, you know. And so remember the culture in which this is written.
Amen.
You know, is an agricultural economy.
Amen.
And so you translate, you know.
Amen.
We got cars.
Yes.
You know, we got jobs and we don't really do much plowing of the fields. It's my intention, but I ain't got nothing, you know. But destroying your cattle, you know, is like impacting your earning of a living.
That's right.
You know? Make you few in number.
Yes.
You know, you get depopulated. Start losing family members. And your highways shall be desolate. What does that mean, highways? Wasn't thinking about 695 at that time. This highways is like how we talk about, like how the Bible and the New Testament talks about the conversation of the righteous. And it's not talking about your speech, it's talking about your way of life, your lifestyle, you know. And so this highways is a similar thing. It's about your way of life, you know. And what it's saying is that, it's saying that your way of life shall be desolate. It's like life feels pointless, you know. Like, what's the use? I imagine you would feel like that with all of this going on. You're down at level 3.
Seven.
What's the use? Verse 23, level what?
Four.
And if ye will not, because you do you see how I'm parsing this out?
Yeah.
You see how I'm saying, okay, he's saying, okay, this is going to happen, and if you don't listen now, then you get to this level. That's how I came up with these levels. And then, okay, this, and then you still ain't listening? Okay, we're moving you up the chain here. You know, we're ratcheting it up here. What number are we on? Four. And if you will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary to you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins. And I will bring a sword upon you that will avenge the quarrel of my covenant. My covenant has a quarrel. You know when you do, when you sign a contract with somebody, you know, you sign a contract with somebody, you're supposed to do a part, and they supposed to do a part, and you don't do your part. So the contract has a quarrel with you. You see what I'm saying? You say, because you didn't do what you were supposed to do. I paid you the money, but you didn't, you know, you didn't do it. So I got to take you down to court to get you to do right. And give you my money back. You know, so God's saying, you know, that the sword will come to avenge the quarrel of the covenant. When you gather together within your cities, I will send a pestilence among you. Hard times. It's interesting to me that when we've seen natural disaster after natural disaster, that you have some people that will come out and say, well, no, some people obviously will say that this is the judgment, you know, this is a judgment for sin. No, it's not just, these are just natural consequences. These are just natural phenomena, natural circumstances. That's all it is. That's not it. That's all it is. Right? But God, I mean, like, I can read here, you know, I can read. I can read.
Jesus.
So 2012 really could get worse. You see what I'm saying? You know, we hope everybody happy New Year, but you know, it really could be worse. Keep doing the same thing, you know. You ain't gonna get the same result. You get to another level.
That's right.
I will send a pestilence upon you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. What does 2 Corinthians 2:26 say? Come on, you know it. Don't. You know, who knows it? 2 Timothy 2:26. What did I say?
Corinthians.
I'm sorry. 2 Timothy 2:26. Oh, that'll be good too. 2 Corinthians, yeah, that'll be good. But 2 Timothy 2:26 talks about being led away captive by the devil at his will. Being led away captive, just like this. You shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. Not satisfied.
unhappy, not at peace, not satisfied. In verse 27, level 5. Level 5 says, "And if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then will I walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I, even I, will chastise you 7 times for your sins. And ye shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall ye eat." These are people that are doing harm to their own children.
Wow.
Doing harm to their own children. Damage to their own children. "I will destroy your high places and cut down your images. Even your idols will be destroyed." What are your idols? Your idols are the things that you put before God. And said, "God, even the very thing that you cherish, God will cut it down just to get you to see that only He is God. Your job can be taken away if that's your idol. You know, your car can be gone if that's your idol. You know, some people idolize men and women, other, you know, men and other women. They idolize others. They put God above others. The verse continues, "And he will cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols." You will be sacrificed to your own idol. A good illustration of that is drugs and alcohol. You idolize the high, and next thing you know, you sacrifice yourself to it. We had a saying that when a man takes a drink, and then a drink takes the drink, and then a drink takes the man, you will become sacrificed to your own idol. "My soul shall abhor you." Can you imagine God being disgusted with you? Please, Lord. "Make your city," you're level 5 now. "Make your cities waste, your sanctuaries to desolation. I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors," your prayers. When it talks about the savor of sweet odors, the Bible tells us that the incense, that the smoke of the incense is the prayers of the saints. God says, He can't even hear your prayers. And what that's saying is that, you know, God can't hear your prayer unless it's a prayer of repentance. You see? But sometimes people are living in sin, living in iniquity, but praying for blessing. And God said, I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Your sin separates between you and God. This is a lot. This is a lot. I know it's a lot. "I will bring the land unto desolation. Your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished. I will scatter you among the heathen. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste." Verse 36, "And upon them that are left alive of you I will send a faintness into their hearts," that's weak and frightened. And verse 37, "They shall fall one upon another." In other words, you'll find in this scenario people fighting each other. You know, instead of gathering together to see what's wrong and fixing it, they start preying on each other, arguing, fussing, fighting with each other. The problem is sin, but they look at each other as the problem. You understand what I'm saying? "You shall have no power." Can you imagine a Christian having no power? No power. So the devil can just come into your house and do whatever he wants. Devil can just come in and do whatever he wants. Come into your finances and jerk you around. Come into your relationships and jerk them around because you don't have any power. Come into your health and jerk you up and down. You ain't got no power. No power. Verse
The Bible tells me that God doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but he gives you power. He gives you power, doesn't he?
Yes.
So no power is not of God. Amen?
Amen.
You shall perish upon the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. That's death. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away. That's sins of the fathers. That's generational. Okay? That's important. That closing verse is important because look how verse 40 opens. That is the closing verse of level 3. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 39 is the closing
level
of
five.
Level, what did I say?
Level 3.
Thank you for helping me. That's the closing verse of level 5, iniquities. Okay? I'm making this up. I mean, you can see it, can't you? But this is what's appearing to me, that these five levels are progressing. And we got this stuff going on in our lives, and it's like, okay, what do we do? And closing out this, it starts talking about your sin and the sins of your father. See, because a lot of times we are affected by the sins of our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents. We just don't understand it, so we don't know it, so we don't pay any attention to it. So we think that what we're saying and doing and how we're operating and how we're believing is all just me. It's just what I decided to do. Have no recognition of what the Bible says, is that you are affected by the sins of your that have gone before. You are. But the Bible also tells you what to do. And these next verses particularly are the verses that tell you, here is what you do. Okay? This is very important when it comes to this generational issue, but almost when it comes to any issue, this is what you do, because it deals with sins of the fathers and the iniquities and the curses that come from them, and also my own sin in participating. So it tells you what to do. Now, I'm a very focused person when it comes to what to do. You know, you can tell me a whole lot of details about something. I just want to know, okay, what are we to do next? What do we do? Because, you know, doing is about action. Taking action that could bring about a change of the consequences. What do we do? Okay? See, God then gives us another if then. Starts out the verse with one of my favorite words, if. I like it as a little two-letter word. I can grab a hold of a two-letter word. Little two-letter word, if. If they shall confess. I want to read these two verses, 40 and 41. Because in 40 and 41, it's really setting up a model. And I analyzed it because I was trying to say, God, what are you saying to us here? If they shall confess their iniquity and what does my father's iniquity got to do with it? I didn't do that. Oh, my grandfathers. When it says fathers, it's talking about the generations going back. I didn't even know my great-grandfather. I didn't even know. But God sets up a model here. And when you study the Word of God, you see this model of repentance being employed by Solomon. It's being employed by Daniel, by Ezra, by Nehemiah. You'll see this model of repentance being employed. Because what they're doing, like Daniel, I use Daniel as an example. In Daniel 9, Daniel says, I, by reason of study, you know, discerned that the people of God were supposed to come out of captivity because it was the 70th year.
Yes.
So I set myself to fasting and praying.
Yes.
And I repented for my sins and for my father's sins.
Yes.
Daniel's supposed to be a righteous man, but he's repenting.
In other words, this is the place where you stand up and take responsibility.
Yes.
You got to remember, we're not talking about time. We're talking about sin.
Uh-huh.
You see?
Uh-huh.
Righteousness is timeless.
Yes.
Sin is temporary. So when you stand up and take responsibility, I wish I had a chair because I'll stand in it. When you stand up and take responsibility for sin, the sins of the fathers, you're standing up above time. You're actually standing alongside Jesus, because that's what Jesus did.
That's right.
Jesus was a righteous man.
Yes.
But he said, enough. He said, enough of this. Somebody's got to stand up and pay the price for sin so that my people can be free.
Yes.
So we're really just patterning ourselves after Jesus and standing up alongside Jesus and saying, I agree. Because that's what this text, these two verses about, is acknowledgement and agreement with God. You see. It says, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me. See, this is a confession.
Mm-hmm.
You stand up and say, Lord, my family has walked contrary to you.
Yes.
Me and my family.
Yes.
We have been contrary to you.
Mm-hmm.
But it goes further, because God says, you also should confess that I have walked contrary to you. And this is acknowledgement that, Lord, I see elements of the curse in my life. And you said in your word, that if I see the curse in your life, in my life, that means you've allowed it to be there because of sin. So it's basically acknowledging, yes, Lord, I can see that you've been contrary to me. My family's all jacked up, my finances is all jacked up, my relationships is all jacked up, my job situation's all jacked up, whatever it is, you know, or any ones of these things are going on in these other verses, you know, he's saying, this looks contrary to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This doesn't look trary, it looks contrary. So he says, acknowledge it. He said, say it.
Yes.
Say it. I have walked contrary unto them and brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humble, and they then accept the punishment of their iniquity. And so what does that mean? Accept the punishment for iniquity. What that means is acknowledging and agreeing with God that God is right.
Yeah.
See, sometimes we approach God and we want God to be wrong.
That's right.
That, you know, God, you shouldn't punish our family. Look at them.
Yeah.
Look at them over there. That don't seem fair. You want God to deal with you on the basis of fair? You don't want that.
No.
You don't want God to deal with you on the basis of fear, because the wages of sin is death. So like every one of us is wiped out if it's based on fear. It's mercy, y'all.
Yes.
It's mercy. And so acknowledging, you see, acknowledging, you know, yes, mama, yes, daddy, you're right. I didn't wash the dishes. Not, no, it wasn't my turn or not, you know. It's like, yeah, I didn't do it. And I deserve to be punished. I deserve punishment.
Wow.
I deserve to have my cell phone taken away. I deserve it. I deserve not to be able to watch the TV shows. You know, you see what I'm saying? You know, acknowledging your sin and recognizing God's right to bring punishment, because he is right. I mean,
right.
Like, we're going to think, well, God, we want to have an argument with you because we don't think you're right. We don't think you're fair. We don't think you're being fair to us, to our family. All this stuff happening in my family, I don't think it's fair. So God said, this is the way you do it. This, do you see it? This is the way you do it. God, you're right. Now, I imagine it would be a good idea to come to the understanding that God is right.
Yes.
That's
right.
Even if we don't understand what's going on, you know, even if it like if it boggles your mind about what's going on,
yes.
I would, if I was you, come to the agreement of the understanding that God is right.
Yes.
Okay?
Amen.
Okay?
Yes, you are.
And then, see, because if you don't agree that God is right, how can you possibly repent?
That's right.
You can't repent. You can't repent. So God, whatever you want to do, I just beg for your mercy.
Yes.
I repent for my sin, my parents' sin, my grandparents, yes. The one from Africa, the one from wherever they from, yes. Ireland.
Yes.
You know, I repent for the sin, for the drinking, for the drugging,
yes.
For the,
yes.
You know, profligating and the licentiousness and,
yes.
Wickedness.
Yes.
I repent for argumentation.
Yes.
I repent for all of the unrighteousness, yes. That has gone before me. Lord God, I agree with you that you are righteous, that you are loving God, that you care for us, that you desire to pour out your blessing upon us. Lord, we agree with who you are, oh God. We agree. We agree with you, Lord. Lord, we see the error of our ways. We see it, Lord God. We see that this error only brings us to destruction. It brings us to consternation. Brings us to wasting and consumption. Brings us to anger and bitterness. Lord, we repent, Lord. We agree with your ways, oh God. You're all glorious. You're all magnificent. You're wonderful. You are, God. And we agree. We agree with your way, oh God. Your way. Your way. Your way. If. Verse 40 says, if only somebody would do this. And verse 42 says, then. If only somebody would do this. See? Somebody. It could be anybody. It could be the most unassuming person that you might think is not. Okay? And it could be you, even though you might think you ain't all that. It could be you. You. Your whole family is being stood up because you don't think it's you.
Oh my goodness, my God.
It's you. It's you. Then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac. And also, God, what is he telling you?
Abraham.
What he's telling you is that it's the same thing through the generations. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You know, aren't you children of Abraham?
Yes.
Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So you could take this, declension and decline it all the way down to you. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Carissa. He says he'll remember the land. The land shall be left and enjoy her Sabbath, lie desolate without them. This is drawing the time of the punishment. They shall accept the punishment for iniquity. Just say, Lord, I accept it. I accept it. And I transfer it to Jesus. Because Jesus died to take our punishment. You see that?
Hallelujah.
Jesus. But you can't transfer to Jesus what you don't accept.
That's right.
You can't say, Jesus, take the punishment for my sin. But I don't even really think I did it. I mean, I'm really not guilty, you know. That's what they did to that man up in California. And gave him the maximum sentence because, you know, the boy is dead. And he said, well, I didn't really do anything. He did it to himself. I'm not responsible. And they said, well, you know what?
you don't learn, do you? So you get the maximum sense. Okay?
Amen.
Remember my covenant. The land shall be left. They shall accept the punishment because even they despise my judgments because their soul abhorred my statutes. That's the past. People continue. My thought about that is people continue in iniquity, yet they think they should be blessed. You know, continue in sin, but think they should be blessed anyhow. That there's some kind of way we could pray to God where He'll maybe miss the sin and keep on blessing us. Ain't happening. Ain't happening. There's one way. Just one way, and that's the way of faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and repentance for our sins. And the only way you could repent for something is if you acknowledge it and take responsibility. That's the only way. Yet for all of that, God says, if you confess and you do those things, yet for all of that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them. For I am the Lord their God. But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God. He says again, I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between Him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Now, I'm not a legalist. You know what a legalist is? Legalist is somebody that preaches law, 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 law. You gotta do this, you gotta do that, you gotta do this. I'm not a legalist. And of all things, I'm preaching out of the Old Testament. Preaching salvation, deliverance, right out of the Old Testament is always there. You know why? Because I see the Bible as one book. I see it.
Amen.
It's the same thing. I mean, God wants the same thing. It's like not like God said, okay, I think I'll lower my standards for you New Testament people. Huh? I'll lower my standards for you New Testament people. In fact, if anything, He could raise the standard.
Yes.
You have the power of the Holy Ghost. The unction of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Christ has suffered and died.
Jesus.
And been risen again. His resurrection is the power of God.
Amen. Jesus.
So we can live this life.
Yes.
We just have to understand. We just have to understand that we have responsibility. God never said that we're not responsible. He said Jesus pays the price for your sin. So you can always transfer your sin so that it's under the blood. Today we prepared communion.